15.
Yes,
the fat scribe said, flustered after looking through a book. It was Bidlell's team, room 232. The woman you describe hired them 2 weeks ago for an undisclosed project. We take the secrecy of our clients very seriously. She sighed, closing the book. Barring imperial mandate. Thanks, Lift said, giving the woman a hug. Thanks, 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 thanks. I wish I knew what all this meant. Storms. You'd think I would be the one who got told everything, but half the time I get the sense that even kings are confused by what the world throws at them. She shook her head and looked to Lift, who was still hugging her. I am going to my assigned station now. You'd be wise to seek shelter.
Sure will, great bye,
Lift said, letting go and dashing out of the room full of ledgers. She scurried through the hallway, directly away from the steps down to the Indicium's storm shelter. Genna poked her head out into the hallway.
Bidlell will have already evacuated. The door will be locked. She paused. Don't break anything.
Voidbringer, Lift said. Can you find whatever number she just said?
Yes.
Good, 'cause I don't got that many toes.
They hurried through the cavernous Indicium, which was already feeling empty. Only a half hour or so since the diktat, Windle was keeping track, and everyone was on their way out. People locked the doors in the advent of a storm and moved on to safe places. For those with regular homes, those homes would do. But for the poor, that meant storm bunkers. Poor Parshmen. There weren't many in the city. Not as many as in Azamir, but by the prince's orders they were being gathered and turned out, left for the storm, which Lift considered hugely unfair. Nobody listened to her complaints about that, though. And Windle implied, well, they might be turning into void bringers. And he would know. Still didn't seem fair. She wouldn't leave him out in a storm, even if he claimed it probably wouldn't hurt them. She followed Windle's vines as he led her up two floors, then started counting off rows. The floor on this level was of painted wood, and it felt weird to walk on it. Wooden floors. Wouldn't they break and fall through? Wooden buildings always felt so flimsy to her, and she stepped lightly just in case. Lift frowned, then crouched down, looking one way, then the other. What was that?
221, Windle said. 222.
Voidbringer, Lift hissed. Shut up.
He twisted about, creeping up the wall near her. Lift pressed her back against the wall, then ducked around a corner into a side corridor and pressed her back against that wall instead. Booted feet thumped on the carpet.
I can't believe you called that a lead, a woman's voice said.
Lift recognized it as Darkness's trainee.
Weren't you in the guard? Things work differently in Yzir, a man snapped.
The other trainee.
Here everyone is too coy. They should just say what they mean.
You expect a Tashiki Street informant to be perfectly clear?
Sure. Isn't that his job?
The two strode past, and thankfully didn't glance down the side hall toward Lift.
Storms. Those uniforms, with the high boots, stiff eastern jackets, and large cuffed gloves, were imposing.
They looked like generals on the field. Lift itched to follow and see where they went. She forced herself to wait. Sure enough, a few seconds later a quieter figure passed in the hallway. The assassin, clothing tattered, head bowed, with that large sword, it had to be some kind of shard blade, resting on his shoulder.
I do not know, Sword Nimi, he said softly.
I don't trust my own mind any longer.
He paused, stopping as if listening to something.
That is not comforting, Sword Nimmy. No, it is not.
He trailed after the other two, leaving a faint afterimage glowing in the air. It was almost imperceptible, less pronounced now that he was moving than it had been in Darkness's headquarters.
Oh, mistress, Wendell said, curling up to her. I nearly expired of fright. The way he stopped there in the hallway, I was sure he'd seen me somehow.
At least the hallways were dark, with those sphere lanterns mostly out. Lift nervously slipped into the hallway and followed the group. They stopped at the right door and one produced a key. Lift had expected them to ransack the place, but of course they wouldn't need to do that. They had legal authority. Actually, so did she. How bizarre. Darkness's two apprentices stepped into the room. The assassin in white remained outside in the hallway. He settled down on the floor across from the doorway, his strange shard blade across his lap. He sat mostly still, but when he did move, he left that fading afterimage behind. Lift pulled into the side corridor again, back pressed to the wall. People shouted somewhere distant in the grand indecision. Calls for people to be orderly.
I have to get into that room, Lift said. Somehow.
Wendell huddled down on the ground, vines tightening around him. Lift shook her head.
That means getting past the starving assassin himself. Storms.
I'll do it, Wendell whispered.
Maybe, Lift said, barely paying attention. I can make some sort of distraction. Send him off chasing it? But then that would alert the two in the room.
I'll do it, Wendell repeated.
Lift cocked her head, registering what he'd said. She glanced down at him.
The distraction?
No.
Wendell's vines twisted about one another, tightening into knots.
I'll do it, mistress. I can sneak into the room. I don't believe their Spren will be able to see me.
You don't know?
No.
Sounds dangerous.
His vines scrunched as they tightened against one another.
You think?
Yeah, totally, Lift said, then peeked around the corner. Something's wrong about that guy in white. Can you get killed, Voidbringer?
Destroyed,
Wendell said.
Yes. It's not the same as for a human, but I have seen Spren, who...
He whimpered softly.
Maybe it is too dangerous for me.
Maybe.
Wendell settled down, coiled about himself.
I'm going anyway, he whispered.
She nodded. Just listen. Memorize what those two in there say, and get back here quick. If something happens, scream loud as you can.
Right. Listen and scream. I can listen and scream. I'm good at these things.
He made a sound like taking a deep breath, though so far as she knew, he didn't need to breathe. Then he shot out into the corridor. A vine laced with crystal that grew along the corner where wall met floor. Little offshoots of green crept off his sides, covering the carpeting. The assassin didn't look up. Wendell reached the doorway into the room with the two Skybreaker apprentices. Lift couldn't hear a word of what was being said inside.
Storms, she hated waiting. She'd built her life around not having to wait for anyone or anything. She did what she wanted when she wanted. That was the best, right? Everyone should be able to do what they wanted. Of course, if they did that, who would grow food? If the world was full of people like Lift, wouldn't they just leave halfway through planting to go catch lurgs? Nobody would protect the streets or sit around in meetings. Nobody would learn to write things down or make kingdoms run. Everyone would scurry about eating each other's food until it was all gone and the whole heap of them fell over and died.
You knew that, a part of her said, standing up inside, hands on hips with a defiant attitude.
You knew the truth of the world, even when you went and asked not to get older.
Being young was an excuse, a plausible justification. She waited, feeling itchy because she couldn't do anything.
What were they saying in there? Had they spotted Wendell? Were they torturing him? Threatening to cut down his gardens or something?
Listen, a part of her whispered. But of course she couldn't hear anything.
She wanted to just rush in there, make faces at them all, then drag them on a chase through the starving building. That would be better than sitting here with her thoughts, worrying and condemning herself at the same time. When you were always busy, you didn't have to think about stuff. Like how most people didn't run off and leave when the whim struck them. Like how your mother had been so warm and kindly, so ready to take care of everyone. It was incredible that anyone on Roshar should be as good to people as she'd been. She shouldn't have had to die. Least, she should have had someone half as wonderful as she was to take care of her as she wasted away. Someone other than Lyft, who was selfish, stupid, and lonely. She tensed up, then prepared to bolt around the corner. Wendell, however, finally zipped out into the hallway. He grew along the floor at a frantic pace, then rejoined her, leaving a trail of dust by the wall as his discarded vines crumbled. Darkness's two apprentices left the room a moment later, and Lyft pulled back into the side corridor with Wendell. In the shadows here, she crouched down against the floor to avoid standing out against the distant light. The woman and man in uniforms strode past a moment later and didn't even glance down the hallway. Lyft relaxed, glancing toward Wendell. Then the assassin passed by. He stopped, then looked down the hallway, hand resting on his sword hilt. Lyft's breath caught. Don't become awesome. Don't become awesome. If she used her powers in these shadows, she'd glow, and he'd spot her for sure. All she could do was crouch there as the assassin narrowed his eyes, strangely shaped, like they were too big or something. He reached to a pouch at his belt, then tossed something small and glowing into the hallway. A sphere. Lyft panicked, uncertain if she should scramble away, grow awesome, or just remain still. Fear spren boiled up around her, lit by the sphere as it rolled near her, and she knew, meeting the assassin's gaze, that he could see her. He pulled his sword out of the sheath a fraction of an inch. Black smoke poured from the blade, dropping toward the floor and pooling at his feet. Lyft felt a sudden terrible nausea. The assassin studied her, then snapped the sword into its sheath again. Remarkably, he left, following after the other two, that faint afterimage trailing behind him. He didn't speak a word, and his footfalls on the carpet were almost silent, a faint breeze compared to the clomping of the other two, which Lyft could still hear farther down the corridor. In moments, all three of them had entered the stairwell and were gone. Storms, Lyft said, flopping backward on the carpet. Storming mother of the world and father of storms above, he about made me die of fright.
I know, Wendell said. Did you hear me not whimpering?
No.
I was too frightened to even make a sound.
Lyft sat up, then mopped the sweat from her brow.
Wow, okay, well, that was something. What did they talk about?
Oh, Wendell said, as if he'd forgotten completely about his mission. Mistress, they had an entire study done,
research for weeks to identify oddities in the city.
Great. What did they determine?
I don't know.
Lift flopped back down.
They talked over a whole lot of things I didn't understand, Wendell said.
But, Mistress, they know who the person is. They're heading there right now, to perform an execution.
He poked at her with a vine.
So, maybe we should follow?
Yeah, okay, Lift said. Guess we can do that. Shouldn't be too hard, right?